104.6 FM. This is Radio Kwa 104.6 FM, sponsored by the Ghana Association of New Zealand, with the funding from the Ministry of Ethnic Affairs. Today is the 13th of December 2025, and the time is 8:34 p.m. in Auckland, New Zealand. He said, "Making a radin in him." Featuring Reverend Dodo Sumensa. That is a song worshiping God, elevating God for His greatness, for His goodness. I've got a studio. I mean, the studio here is a wonderful guest here. Your commander in chief of the airwaves. I'm with you and your team. 8:35 p.m. Auckland, New Zealand. A big shout out to every single one who's been joining us on Facebook, on www.planetaudio.org.nz, and those of you who've also been joining us on 104.6 FM.
Hallelujah.
This one is coming from the camp of Selina Boateng. I'm featuring Brother Atu. He says he's the Alpha and the Omega. That the Lord who has begun it, he's going to accomplish it. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. You know, and the Lord that has that began the good year with us in January 2025, the same, the Lord is going to end the year successfully with us in 2025. And we are going to enter into the year 2026 successfully. So the song is a reminder to all of us, those of you who are watching us on Facebook, those who are watching us and who are listening to us on 104.6 FM or www.panotaudio.org.nz. It's a reminder to us that the Lord that has begun it is going to successfully end the year with us. And also a big shout out to all the wonderful executives from the Ghana community in Auckland. A big shout out to the leadership of the Ghana Association in New Zealand, all the churches in New Zealand. A big shout out to all of you. Not forgetting the leadership of the Ghana National Council in New Zealand. A big shout out to Mr. Say and Mr. Eric Buama and your team. A big shout out to every single one of you. A shout out to those in Hamilton, Whangarei, Rotorua, those in Christchurch, those in Wellington. And also we continue to say a big thank you to Mr. Eric and your team. When we came to Wellington, you received us really, really well, and you made us feel at home. You made us feel gonze. And you know what, was amazing to catch up with you and your team. So a big shout out to all of you in Wellington. Big shout out to all our wonderful viewers who've been watching us all the way from Australia, JQ and your team, those who've been watching us from Melbourne, those who've been watching us from Perth, Ima and your wonderful team. A big shout out to every single one of you, those in Sydney, Melbourne, who've been watching us on Facebook. Every single week you've been with us, a big shout out to every single one of you. Oh, and also not forgetting, I think we haven't heard from Kuba for a very long time. Kuba is our amazing viewer all the way in Johannesburg, who's been
Kuba is back from Ghana.
Oh, so Kuba is back in Ghana. So he's always been watching us from Johannesburg in South Africa, and apparently he's back in Ghana. So a big shout out to you, Kuba, and your team down there. Thank you very much for joining us and being with us every single Saturday once we come here and contributing to the show. We will not be able to do this without you. Those who've been watching us from Ghana, a big shout out to you. Those from UK, the UK team, also a big shout out to you. Those from Belgium, UK, Adubuahin, and your team, a big shout out. Those in the US, United States of America, we haven't forgotten you. So a shout out to every single one of you who's been watching us around the world. Those who've been watching us from Canada, a big shout out to you. It's been amazing to host you every single Saturday and to discuss what is happening within the African community and the Ghana community with you guys all. So very soon I'm going to go into the studio and we've got a wonderful program for you. The year has been a lot of ups and downs, and maybe a bit more ups for some people and maybe a bit of downs for some people, but we are going to review the year. What have been happening in the African community in New Zealand? What have been happening in the Ghana community in New Zealand? And also a bit of a focus on the youth in New Zealand. How can we engage the youth? Because as the older generation grow, we don't want to grow and leave the young ones behind. We want to carry them along with us. I want to be able to teach them our culture. I want them to be able to carry the mantle and run the journey with that. But are we doing it successfully? We're going to do that. I got Don Kobe in the city here with me, and also I've got Zanita in the city here with me, and we're supposed to have our lovely Ernestina Bonsu, but unfortunately Tina couldn't join us today. Something has come up. Hopefully Kwasi Freddy is going to be able to join us as well, but let's go back to the studio and listen to Kofi Kinata. Kofi Kinata has brought something new. Everybody is shouting about it, fantastic about it. People don't know whether it's a worship song, it's Afrobeat, or is it a high life, whatever it is. According to him, he's giving out the music, and do it with whatever that you want. So let's listen to Kofi Kinata, and soon we're going to come back to the studio here.
Menteda, Muida, Mami, Mina, Tumadina, Tumsumidi, Muadi, Dabeo, and I give you a wine to me, Nabria, Dada, who compose all Nasa, and Medi, Nichila, Obini, Muna, Tria, what did you do? I don't know. Namini Ba, when that was also, what you know, a woman with Shadow.
Oh, Issa has joined us on Facebook. Issa, thank you very much for joining us on Facebook.
This
one is coming from the camp of Daddy Lumba. A maestro is going home. A hero is going home today. The late Daddy Lumba, Charles Kwadwofosu. He is a legend. He died a couple of months ago, and he's been buried up in terms of the ups and downs, all the controversy surrounding him and his death and the family situation. He finally goes home. And this one, he says, a makramo. And this song, it appears he wrote his own tribute before he was living.
Yes,
be a bank, Jimmy. For dinner, go your body, I will see. Now, somebody, they want to meet me. Because many are telling this, you to be a for the paper, be walk up. Mean your means, they give it to me, and again, I'm going to be over. Again, I'm back. I can't open and your puppy.
Okay, Issa says he would like to come the day that we're going to discuss NDC MPP. Okay, so yeah, so Issa, no problem. We're going to have you in the studio here one day, and then we're going to have that conversation around the controversy, the MPP and the NDC and the drama and who's been doing fantastic and who's doing what and how the Ghana economy is doing and how the Ghanaians or the Afghanians in the diaspora can also contribute to what is happening back home in Ghana. So, Issa, definitely we are going to have you in the studio one day and then with us, the team discuss what is happening back in Ghana. So, today let's celebrate, our maestro. And also discuss what is happening in the Ghana, in the, you know, the Ghana community and Afghan community as well. Hey, Tahir. Thank you for joining all the way. Tahir has joined us all the way in Ghana. What did he say? Let me read Tahir's comment. He says, propaganda prince. Don't fire wrong missiles. Or we are not going to fire wrong missiles. Today is all about the Daddy Lumba. Today is all about how can we, as the Ghanaian community or the African community, engage our young generation and also to be able to reflect on the year, because January, February, March, April, May, June, July, up to December, the year is coming to an end. How has the Ghanaian community functioned, and have we been able to achieve what we're about to achieve, and the thing that we did? Did it impact the life of the people? We're going to discuss it today. And I've got a studio here with me. Let me just turn around and go to the studios here. And I've got Zanita in the studio here with me. How are you, Zanita? So let me turn your mics on. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for coming. This is the second time you're coming to the studio, right? Yes, yeah, and I think it's good to have you in the studio to be able to have a bit of conversation around what is happening in our community and how, and because I can see that you've been actively involved in what has been happening in our community, African community, and you're a young person, you are very engaged with the young generation. So it would be good to be able to get a sense check from you how the Ghanaian community, not just only the Ghanaian community, but the African community in general, has done in terms of reaching out and connecting to the young ones, and also a reflection whether or not what we have done has made any impact. We would like to know. So we're going to use you as a bit of a sense check. Kwabena?
Yeah, man.
Ja Rastafari.
Peace.
How are you?
Good, bro.
Good. How's your week been?
Very busy.
I think go close to your microphone. I can hear you.
Very, very busy weekend.
Oh, busy. Yeah, busy. Busy as always.
Yes.
Busy as always. But, you know, every Saturday when we come here is for God and country. Right, yeah. For God and country every single Saturday.
Yeah,
so despite the busyness,
you have to put in extra.
Yes, that's right. Yes. But good to see you. We don't know where Kwasi Fede is.
Kwasi is on his way.
Oh, Kwasi is on his way. Okay, yeah. So we're going to, I hope he's listening, so he will get a gist of the conversation. So, Zanita.
Yes.
Yeah, so this year there have been a lot of programs within the African community space, the Ghanaian community space. You've been there, most of them. I've seen you around. And then in the beginning, there was we had the New Year party, first of January, for the fundraising for the Water for Life project. And then that was great. We raised some money and to be able to build some boreholes for some communities in Ghana. And it was good. It's been done. The communities are enjoying them. They are very grateful for that. And also we've had independence celebration where we had four communities come to join the Ghana community and to celebrate. And we had a soccer tournament. It was good. you know, as always, in the beginning, they will people will trickle in, and they get into the end of the day, we see people just flooding their numbers, coming to see what is happening, you know, and not just that. And in between, we've had we had an AGM, and also we had a learning hub. The learning hub was a program in connection with the Ministry of Education to be able to support the African parent, to be able to understand the education system, to be able to support our children. You know, and you've been there, and you know, we're coming to the end of the year. How, and also not just only the Ghana committee, but if you look at the African committee in general, you've been to the African Day, right? The one in the city. You were there, you've been today, you've been actively kind of engaged. What is your assessment in terms of how effective have the Ghana community or the African community in general have been this year?
Well, I'll definitely say that there has been a lot of events that's happened this year. Mm. A lot of engagement on my end because I've had the opportunity to find them on social media. They're always trying to advertise as much as they can. So it's been a really good experience for me in terms of being able to really engage with the different activities in Auckland. I can't speak for all youths, but I'll definitely say that it's a bit of a step up from the previous year, especially with the Ghanaian community, with the Learning Hub. Not only do we have a new education, Ministry of Education for the parents, but we also have kids learning the Ghanaian language, which is such a fantastic thing that I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually being... it's actually been a really good experience, and I think it's been relatively good for the youth.
Yes, absolutely good for you. And I think I think it's good that you brought up the Ghana language part, because sometimes when I meet the young ones in the community, yesterday I met Philippa, and then she was trying to talk to me about how's my work, how's the work been, and then she was talking to us, she was trying to express herself in the Ghana language, and I think it's exciting to be able to see our young one making an effort. And I saw the last time I saw an app, it's a Chi language that translates English to Chi, and then you say the word in English and then translate to the Ghana language for you. And I saw it on my daughter's iPad, which sometimes she go there and check. So I think a big thank you to the teachers who actually took that effort in 8 weeks, engage the young ones in our community, teaching them the Ghana language, not just the language, but the culture, the ethics, how to engage the community. And I think, and also for the young ones to feel that they've been part of something bigger. I think on that, let's look at the Water for Life. The purpose of the Water for Life is to be able to provide water for a community in Ghana. What, when you heard about this and when you saw the video about the impact that he's been making, what did you make of it?
What I made of it was a sense of pride and joy. Because you have to think about the things that we spend on a day-to-day basis. You can spend $10 on food. You can spend $10 on public transport. You can spend $10 on anything, really. And instead, you could be able to put that money to be able to help a community, a village across Africa. And not only that, but we did such a fantastic job that when seeing that video, seeing the impact, seeing what my $10 did contributing to that, it was such a fantastic experience knowing that I and many other Ghanaian people were able to all come together and be able to make such a difference, you know, that could be able to positively affect people that we may not even know, may positively affect people that might not even be born yet, all because of such a beautiful organization, which is Water for Life.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's good that you brought about your $10, because we say that some people were looking at, yes, I want to give, some were giving $1,000, some were giving $200, and then you thought about the little. Sometimes just the sacrificing the coffee is all what you need to be able to make a huge impact back home in Ghana. And you've been to Ghana before, multiple times, yes. And have you seen, when you saw the video, how those communities were living, did you see them, or when you went to Ghana, you lived in Accra?
Yes, actually. So the second time I went to Ghana, I had the privilege of going to my my maternal grandfather's village. I stayed there for, I think, between 2 to 3 days, I believe. Sorry, it's been such a while, and I've been, it was such a lovely experience there. And I'll definitely say that water is such a necessity there, but they have wells there, which I haven't seen being used in almost ever, because I'm raised in the West, and, you know, one tap away and I already have water at my disposal. So you could definitely see how in different locations in Ghana, water is such a necessity. Apart from that, when I was staying with my family in Ghana, a lot of the times you couldn't even drink from the tap because the tap had hard water, so it had a lot of minerals that weren't drinkable. So instead, you have these bags of water, small plastic bags, and I think it was just so innovative because you can have such a huge amount of water, and it's only like a couple kilos, and that got me by while I was there. So it was actually really fascinating knowing how much different it was from New Zealand to Ghana.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's good that we take our young ones back home to be able to experience it, right? Because if you don't go yourself, it's hard to, you are influenced by what you see on the radio or on Facebook or all this kind of stuff. Okay, so that's good. Let's talk about the other event we had. You came for the independence. You were a volunteer, right? You were looking after the kids. You were a volunteer. How did it go working with the kids? How did it go?
Well, kids are kids. They're super rowdy, but when you try your best to get them to stop running around, all they want to do is just be more rowdy. So I think it was just like working with the kids and trying to make sure that they were okay. There was a bit of an incident that happened there, a few incidences on my end, where unfortunately one of the entertainment for the kids, which was the bouncy house, wasn't really working. I think there was there must have been a leak somewhere, and I was trying so hard to fix it, and I couldn't be able to fix it at the end. But I think I still managed to salvage that by having the kids play on the playground. I made sure to always make sure the kids were safe. They did also have story time, so I felt that was like a fantastic thing for the kids to kind of explore the community through the stories that we share. I'll definitely say that my engagement towards kids has always been something that I love doing. I've looked after kids since I can remember, honestly. So it's just been really nice knowing that I had a chance to actually contribute to looking after the new generation that's going to come after me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And on that, so you also attended the Learning Hub, right? Yeah, you attended the Learning Hub. I think almost all of them, majority of them. What was your, I think it was the first time the Ghana committee were doing something like that. What was your experience of seeing the parents, the fathers and the mothers sitting there learning about the New Zealand education system with the intention of going to be able to support their children? What was your experience? What did you make of it as well?
I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like the fact that parents who are fully grown already, they've already gone through the education system, they're already wanting to learn more for their children. I think when you're moving from Ghana to New Zealand, you have to understandably change your mindset, but when you're raising your children, they're already born in a Western way, so they think Western. So I think it was just really amazing being able to hear what the African parents had to say and how they wanted to try and help their children. And it was really helpful for me because as someone who was raised in New Zealand, I can understand how Western children were brought up and how they felt, but I can also kind of understand the perspective of the parents and how they want to try and step in and try their best to kind of meet their children in the middle ground. So I felt that was just like a fantastic part of the Learning Hub, because it wasn't just the children learning, it was also the adults learning with their kids, and I just felt that was like a fantastic thing.
You sat there because you were there when the parents were talking about what they wanted for their children, right? And I think there were a time where we heard some of the youth were talking about what they want and what the parents were thinking the youth need, right? And sometimes you could get a sense of how do I put it? Like, the parents say, this is how we were brought up, right? And this is how you want... then the youth, some of the youth will say, oh, no, but we are in New Zealand, right? Blah, 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 blah. How did you... How did you get a sense of that engagement during the period?
I think I found that engagement pretty interesting, because it's always the fact that how people were raised in Ghana versus how people were raised in New Zealand, you could definitely see there's a disconnect. And because of how I was raised a little bit differently to the newer generations that are being brought up now, I also kind of feel that similar disconnect between myself and the younger generations. So I always think to myself, oh, these kids, they're so lucky. They don't know what it's like for us, how we were raised, and even worse for parents who had to be in a completely different country and uphold their whole life to come to New Zealand. I think that change in parenting style versus change in what the children think that they need is kind of an interesting difference, and having that conversation is a very important one. And I think Learning Hub did a fantastic job of kind of understanding the minds of the parents.
Yeah, absolutely, to understand the minds of the parent. So I'll come back to you very soon. Kobe,
yeah.
2025 has been quite interesting. We've thought about, Zanita have mentioned some of the few things that she discussed, her experience. What has been your experience as an, because she is the older, middle, older, middle, and the young, right? Yeah. So then we've got all the generations here. And then what was your sense of the Ghanaian community, right? What you've been going on, what you've been discussing, the activities, what was your sense on that?
I think if you look back from January up to now, we achieved some stuff we put across, especially when we went for the AMG, and we trying to put our stuff down. If you look from last year, the time we put our programs down and up to date, we were able to almost execute every program we put down. Mm. And we have done a lot. Let's go back to our soccer games we play on 6 March.
Yeah,
it was nice program, and people are calling back, we should repeat it again. This means it was better program. And Water for Life was great. It's one of the greatest achievements we have done.
Yeah,
going back to North, where the name of the village is what?
Go community.
We were able to, it was one of the toughest projects we
yes.
All series of meetings up and down, getting someone to help us and the other stuff. At the end of the day, we were able to execute the project, and now they are enjoying the water, which is good. So it is another year with its own story.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we are about to end it.
Yes.
The rest will be as peace as we have.
Hopefully the rest will be as peace as peaceful as we are. Kwazi. Akwaba. So yeah, so we are discussing the Ghana community, right? And African community. What's been happening over the years? What is your spirit? Because you've always been around. You've been there already. Every Saturday you're here. You are in all our programs. What has been your experience this year about the program that we've done, the things that we wanted to do? And do you think it was effective? Did we achieve what we wanted to achieve?
Oh, yeah, we have achieved every year. Every day we move forward. It can be a bit slower or faster, but as long as we get there, since we start Water for Life, it's quite a long time, but at least we managed to get there. So getting there is more important. It doesn't matter how it takes. It wasn't our first program, our first thing that we did to help Ghana, because most of the cases we don't talk about our history. As the other time when we went to AGM, that native said, okay, the first one we did, we managed to send some computers
to the hospital in Ghana. Ghana.
So it wasn't the first thing that we have done. And then Water for Life was quite a great thing that people of brothers in the northern part of Ghana will always remember. And I think it's things that we might have to try to continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we always progress. Sometimes we make progress,
mm-hmm.
but most cases we still keep moving forward.
Yeah,
it might be a bit of a, you know, when you are driving a digger or a tractor or whatever, there's something called throttle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a what do you call them? Rabbit. You push it, it goes a bit faster.
Mm.
You push it, it goes slow.
Like a tortoise.
End of the day, it gets there. That's what is most important. And as I heard my daughter, like his encounter in Ghana,
yeah.
I said, disconnect.
Yeah.
I quite like that word. There's a disconnection.
Yeah.
She was born here, raised up here, you know. And even us that were born in Ghana, brought up in Ghana, did so much in Ghana, came back to overseas, either America or US, whatever. When we go back to Ghana,
there's a disconnect as well.
There's a disconnection as well. So there's a bit of a missing pieces. So I really applaud her for recognizing that. And how can we work on that? There's always a disconnection. So there was a time we had a program about people who say, oh, somebody has been, as a minister, has been to America. How come he didn't bring America to Ghana? He's been to whatever. Then you ask the person, are you ready for somebody as a minister to bring America to Ghana? Are you ready for it? You are not ready for it. So that's this. You always want something good for ourselves.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to pay the price. If we are ready to pay the price, our country can be as anything that we want.
Yes.
But because we don't want to pay the price, because and we are waiting that things will come like a miracle. And I mean, miraculous. It should be here, then it is here. But it doesn't work that way.
Yes,
And even us came to different part of the world. You may talk about Australia or Canada or whatever. That's what we thought. You know, I used to tell a lot of people that my first time to come to New Zealand, I thought all the buildings that were tall, tall buildings. There were no trees. All the factories were in the glass. Not grass, glass.
Yeah.
You work there, machines are working. You see, you wear a suit and a tie. And when I said that to you, most New Zealanders, they laugh. But my first encounter here, you know what I was given to? Something called gumboots. Give me a shovel. You see what I mean? And I've never. And it was at a place called Penrose. Went and shovel metals. You know, it was on Wednesday. We went on Wednesday, then I went on Thursday, and I couldn't even take a shovel from just 1 meter, I couldn't even throw it. So when you see somebody has developed, it comes from a hard way, not easy way.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of my cousins and called me. Christmas is coming. What is so? Then so Christmas is coming. So and so what? You know. Then I said it's time for us to be talk. No, tell the truth. You got cousins in America, Canada, Australia, UK, Germany. You know the kind of job that they do, especially when it comes to women working in the old age, wiping people, washing them. You know, who are in their maybe 70s, 80s, who are ill, sick. And those people who are doing that job, they have mothers back in Ghana. Like my mother is about 97 years or 96 years. Who washes her? Nobody cleans her. But maybe I may have some cousins or whatever. Clean someone's in somewhere in the world just because to feed himself and the family. And in this Christmas coming, they wanted to work, stay in and work during the Christmas. They don't even take a Christmas off working. And now you want that person to send some money to you to go on holiday, what a sister are you? What a brother, what a family are you? Don't you feel sorry for your cousins, whatever your sister in America working during the holidays?
They don't know what's going on there. They're in Africa.
It's about time for us to let them know the truth. So this is what we are going through. Going to sleep there during the Christmas holidays.
If you can't stay, come home.
Come home.
Okay, if you can't stay, come home. Okay, so big shout out to William Kowili. Kowili has joined us on Facebook. Thank you very much. Senior Eddie. Senior Eddie is watching us from
Ghana.
Also, Senior Eddie is watching us from Ghana. Tilly Cody is watching us also. I'm not sure where Tilly is watching us from.
Tilly is in he's in Oakland. No.
Somewhere. Tilly is watching us from somewhere. So Tilly, thank you very much, Tilly, for joining us, and Senior Eddie for joining us. Thank you very much for joining us. So let's come. So I'll come back to Zanita again. So now we've discussed about your experience this year about the Ghana community. Now let's broaden our view a little bit to the African community. So far, I know of few events that has happened. I think the main one is the African Day. And on top of that, what you were there, what was your experience comparing to the previous years?
So for the previous years, I hadn't really been engaged, mainly because I wasn't in Auckland. But I can have a comparison between myself this year and last year. Last year I wasn't really engaged too much in many events. I did go to the African Day of 2024, as well as the one that I attended this year, but I didn't really attend too many things. I did manage to attend the African Film Festival. That was actually quite nice. I managed to...
This year or last year?
This year.
Oh, you went this year? Okay.
Yes, I went to the premiere, actually, where I believe I was watching a movie based off of the Shakespearean play Hamlet. I could be wrong, and that's okay. But I was watching that, and it was actually so good. It was a black and white movie, and I genuinely... My breath was taken away when I was watching it in the big theater. And I loved it. I'm also a student. I'm a student in the University of Auckland, and I managed to attend the Auckland Uni African Society, and that was actually even better. So I managed to go to their quiz nights. They had debate nights, but I couldn't go because I was studying, and they also even had a karaoke night, which I kind of wish I went to. So it was just amazing having that opportunity to attend so many new things this year in comparison to last year, mainly because I'm a student, and I was able to join a student group that's made for students, run by students in the African community. So there's been a lot more events that I've had the opportunity of attending, and I've just been so privileged being able to go to them.
And also on that, so let's so it's good that you talk about it, students, and how engaged do you think the youth, the young ones in the either in the Ghana community or the African community, how engaged do you think they are in the community?
Well, this is from my own experience, but I've kind of understood that engagement from the youth kind of requires them to want to step out of their comfort zone. And I would be lying if I said that there was a huge engagement between the youth in both Ghana and in the African community. I think it's just because at the end of the day, there's so many of us in Auckland, because Auckland's such a diverse city. However, there's not enough of us to really sit down and be like, hey, let's get together and do something. Especially for the youth, because in all honesty, we can't expect someone else to organize it for us. if that makes sense. But I will say that when it comes to engagement, it really just depends on the student or the youth's availability, whether or not they have school, whether or not they have to study, maybe the student's religious beliefs. Sometimes there are African church groups that have been able to follow that, do events that I haven't had the privilege of attending, but I have seen them post about it and have conversations about it and be able to kind of spread the word about it. So it really does depend on, one, the student's availability, and two, the student's willingness to want to engage in those events. And I would lie if I said that for the youth, they are very much engaging. I think while there is some students that, and some youth that love to attend these events, a lot of them don't really want to step out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, don't want to step out of their comfort zone. So a big shout out to, so Kwame Asare has joined us on Facebook. Thank you very much, Kwame Asare, for joining us. Let us know, Kwame, where you're joining us from, and we'll be able to shout out to all the team out in there. So thank you very much, Kwame Asare, for joining us on that. Governor. The African community in general, how engaged do you think the African, the youth are? Do you think we could get a bit more engagement from the young ones in our community?
Okay, if you look back last 8 some years, the youth, especially Ghanaian youth, can organize their own program and the place will be full. This time you can't see that one.
Yeah, yeah.
This means it is what, in disintegrating or what? So,
hey, JQ has joined us. JQ, you've joined us already from Brisbane. Thank you, JQ, for joining us. A big shout out to you. Okay, come around.
So, I think we need to do more because previously we can organize our own program and we can get a full house more. But these days, if you look, even the African community, if they come together, you can see as it was way back years ago. So I think something is happening at each for himself or God for us or whatever is happening. Yeah. So we need to engage. And let me bring this one. This year we had the opportunity to have one or two meetings with the police.
Oh yes, yeah.
Which is very important. New Zealand police want the youth to join the police force, especially the do can I use the word foreigners or something?
Yeah. So migrants, right? They want to see more migrants, right? Yeah.
Because sometimes, according to them, they have a problem. They will get a case and they need someone from the community. So they wish they will get at least the slot is 500 for how many years?
I think it was 2 or 3 years. Yes. So they've got a quota that they want to because
not just the force, the front line, but those even in the office and the other staff,
lawyers, investigators. You're too old.
No, it's not too old. You said we have somebody 60 years, blah, blah, blah. You are not too old.
But on that, there's a. There was a story that somebody shared in there. I think was I won't say it's funny, right? So you know, in the African community, the Muslim community, when somebody dies, you they got within 24 hours.
Those
to 40,
two, yeah.
24 hours, they have to take the body and bury them. So this young person died unexpectedly at home, right? So now they have to call the GP, they have to call the police to come and do investigation because it was unexpected, right? So, but while the police were coming, they investigating the body, so they have to take the body to do the autopsy or do whatever. But then also it was getting closer to the 24 hours. So the Muslim community wanted to take the body and bury them. So when the police came to take the body, there was a bit of miscommunication between why is the police taking the body, because they are going to breach the 24 hours, they need to go bury the body. So while the police were trying to carry the body, the people in the parents in the house refused the police from taking the body. So what has happened was that they make a phone call, they call their colleagues, they call people, and within a short period of time we had all these young Africans riding a motorbike and coming and trying to stop the police from trying to stop the police from taking the body, because for them, they need to go bury the body. The police also need to take the body to go and do their own investigation. A bit of back and forth. So the police have to come in. The police also have to call reinforcement, right? So what happened was that they have to call. I think they must have called Red or they called somebody who went into to talk to them that or not the reason why the police is taking the body away, and also they have to also to explain to the police why the committee were refusing to release the body because they were breaching. So they have to come to some kind of an agreement for police to reassure them that they are going to expedite their autopsy so that they're going to release the body early for them. You know, so for example like this, if the police had someone, a contact person in the community that they could reach out to, this unnecessary tension wouldn't have come up, right? Religious background, they couldn't communicate, the police didn't understand them, their culture, they also, most of them, because they are migrants, right? They don't speak English, their English is very broken, right? So they have to ring people and, you know, so that kind of thing. And it reminds me of when you, in Ghana, when you have that kind of conversation, all the youth come in the motorbikes and then they try and, you know, so, and I think that's what I think the police was saying, that they want more migrant in the police force.
I'll give you something.
Yes.
Scenario about, as I said, when it comes to someone dies,
mm-mm,
in most cases it depends where the person passes away.
Mm-mm.
It could be even a snake bite, mm-mm, and nobody knows.
Yeah. Not in New Zealand.
Yeah, snake bite. Back in where we come from. You know, and the person passes away.
Mm.
So, and people don't even know that there's a snake in our surroundings. So, when they do this autopsy, it helps the police to find out what killed the person.
Mm-hmm.
Even sometimes it can be even a fish bone that can poison you that you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But because of lack of information, our understanding, so we always follow the religion. Mm-hmm. And said, my religion says, you know. So sometimes we had a bit of a conversation. Even I was driving a bus here, and one of my tutor, so Catholic, you know, and he always preached about Catholic. And one day he brought up about the person who brought 10 commandments from Mount Zion, you know, and he started mentioning the 10 commandments. And I said to him, do you know that before 10 commandments arrive in Ghana, we already have our commandments already? So we're talking about Bible says, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not commit this. We already knew that. So it wasn't something new to us. So the religion is rather doing a lot of damages, make us to have misunderstanding of a lot of things. My father is a Khan Muslim, Ahmadiyya. You know, but he doesn't really, that he's not extremist. You know, I've got sisters and brothers, you know. So it's all to do with information, you know, education. So if they come to take your body to go and do autopsy, it becomes like maybe 5 hours late or 10 hours late. I don't think it makes much difference. You know, we respect your religion. You know, I respect everybody's religion. Police respect everybody's religion. But sometimes we need to have patience and allow. You know, you don't just say Bible says or your religion says. You know, but if we're supposed to be you writing the religion, what would you write? Can't you also write something to condemn it? It's not every book that they write, that you read, is supposed to be right.
Because he's run away Muslim.
and I think if you listen to the, I'm not a runaway Muslim,
you know.
You're
because that somebody can write
your
something.
Daddy is a Muslim, you're supposed to be Muslim. That's the law.
Yeah, so I think if you listen to the New Zealand police, right? So their main point is that yes, they respect the culture, they respect the religion, but also the problem was the lack of communication.
The
community didn't understand why the police were doing what they were doing. The police also didn't understand why they also all these young ones coming in the motorbike trying to prevent them from. So it had to take somebody to come in and then link them and then trying to engage them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think, what's the name, the lady was saying, they want more. So it's not necessary that they want more migrant police people on the street, also even behind the phone, negotiation, talking to family, engaging the community, and all those things as well, doing education in the community. There could be a lot of things that the migrant community can support with. And I think one of the main things that he mentioned, and I think it's a cultural something that we need to break, was that whenever they talk to the youth, and the youth go to talk to their parent that they want to be a police, the parent will say, what do you want to do this for? Because our mindset about police service is what we knew back home in Ghana. So I don't want my kids to be a police, because in Ghana the police are corrupt, they abuse people, they are irresponsible, they do blah 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 blah. So I got the same mindset. But that experience,
you might be only about 10%.
Yes, but that's the experience of most Africans.
And it's everywhere, right? Everywhere in the world.
Yeah, but
because we have not been able to control.
Yes, but the problem is that that is the mindset of this parent. When the police engage them, the young one, the parent are refusing the young one to engage the police, because so far as they are concerned, they don't want their kid. They want their kids to be doctors, lawyers, engineers.
You know why?
Yeah. And also because of money, as well, right?
Money is money.
Yes, and also because of money, right?
No, I don't think it was because of money.
Because back home, if you talk to about 90% will tell you.
It was a global thing.
Policing in other countries is not.
When it comes to police,
yeah, that's what we are talking about.
When it comes to medical or whatever.
No, but the police. So, I think that was the experience of the Nigerian police, that the young one they were engaging were saying that their parents don't agree for them to join the police service. And I guess some of the things also could be also the experience of some of the migrant communities with the security agencies, right? Because there's been complaints about abuse, racial abuse, discrimination by the police service. If you hear what is happening in the U.S. and all those, and so most parents sometimes will be like, I don't want my daughter, or I don't want my son to join the New Zealand police, that kind of stuff. So it could be, and
I do understand the youth as well.
Yes.
Because I've been here, I was here since 1994.
Yeah.
You know, so we can share a bit of our experience. Sometimes my generation is there, some kind of a bit of abuse is there. You know, so sometimes when you are from different part of the world and you want to integrate, sometimes it's not really easy for you to integrate. You know, so the girl, who are you? Why do you want to be? You see what I mean? So I can understand people also from overseas. You know, either they may born here or they came here as young. They still don't, they are not really settled yet. I was listening to a guy in UK, very comedian guy, very funny guy, and they said somebody was interviewing some people on the street, and she got to a certain girl, and the girl speaks very good English, and she asked the girl, "You speak so very good English, where do you speak immaculate English, where do you come from, where are you born?" Said Manchester. The guy said Manchester, and the person asked him, "I mean, before then?" So, of all the immaculate English that the girl was speaking, she's not even qualified to be a British yet.
And when
they tell about the relationship between just even Ghana and British, all the timber houses, you know, I'm not talking about Nigeria or Togo, whatever. Nigeria or Ghana or Liberia or Sierra, which is English, part of English colonial, Kenya or Tanzania. They talk about most of the wooden houses. Where does those timbers come from? But they're still not used to Africa. So I know how some of our youth feels, you know. And sometimes maybe feel a bit intimidation. You know, so they have to take it a bit easier. No, it is hard to say. I remember, I will tell you something. About 1996, I went to Queen Street. There was a Chinese shop. I went to have a bit of a lunch. And when I was having my lunch, a certain lady came, you know, she saw me so smile. and said, "Hello, how are you?" I replied, "Oh, very good." "So, where do you come from?" I said, "I'm from Ghana." And she said, she used to live in Kenya, and people were so hospitality, you know, and because of that, you know, the Africans are very good. Then I said to her, "But sometimes we came here, we don't really get that back." You know what she said to me? "Because maybe the people are not used to you." You know what I said back to her? I said, "Because you didn't tell them good about us." And when I said, she blew up. And it was my honest truth. You know, things as, you know, and if we don't say it, and we say, "Oh, it's okay," whereby we know that we brought up our children here, they're going to, you know, we don't tell the truth. You see what I mean? It's about for us to open up and say the truth, you know, what we've been through, you know, otherwise it's not going to. It may carry on. You see what I mean? It may carry on. So that's what I've got to say. So if people don't want to, sometimes they want to stay back, it's not really their fault. Probably from their high school, how some of them may feel. So now you're in high school, now you want me to
become. And then think they want to stay back. The parents are not encouraging them because of their experience back home. But it's time we have to change the situation.
But it's about this kind of conversation that may change the situation.
Yes, yes. Because when it comes to where we talk about money, yesterday there was something we were discussing about. When we say successful life, what is it? Is it having too much money or having other stuff? How is it? So sometimes the training we had, we think when somebody
successful is all about
flashing
money.
Out money, it's a successful person. Yeah. But it's not like that.
So, I will just give you the person flashing out money, that cash. See himself that he's successful. What about the person who invented that machine that printed that money?
And Janita, so Janita, let's situate the conversation this way. So you are you're born here, African, born here, schooled here, gone through the system. Your parent or the adult, the older ones, would have had an unpleasant experience, right? We hear about them, or you hear about them, we talk about them, and then you growing up here, and then how was your experience? Because sometimes you talk about discrimination, all those kind of stuff, but then what is your experience growing up here? Is it something that you experience, or is it something that you hear about?
So I experienced a lot of things. I was there as a child when New Zealand decided to make spanking an illegal, in the early 2000s. But like prior to that, that's how I was raised. Like if I did something wrong, I'll get spanked, or I'll be put in the corner, I'll be put in my room. You know, like I had to be punished for my behavior. And I didn't realize that in New Zealand that wasn't something that was common until I brought it up with friends, or friends who weren't from immigrant parents. So I've kind of experienced that in my childhood. However, that's not to say that my parents shouldn't have done that. They did the best they could with what they had. You know, like we have Learning Hub now, where we can have an open discussion about what the parents think about the children that they have and the education that they should have as their parents. But we never really had that necessarily for the parents of my generation, you know, so it must have been really hard for them to kind of adjust when going to a new country. I'll definitely say that when I was going through the system, I was going through my own fair share of discrimination. I think there was a lot of ignorant children, you know, white, not surprised, but the way they will act like I was different, or the way they would act like I was really weird, it just felt like really frustrating, because I didn't see myself as any different to them. Because if you were to hear my voice on the phone, you wouldn't assume that I'm a black woman. You know, you would assume I'm a Kiwi, thanks to the accent, you know. And I think that really went to show me how different I was. When I went to Dunedin, that was even worse because the majority of the people living there are white, you know. So it was really hard for me to kind of want to study and just do what I needed to do while sticking out like a sore thumb. And then you might ask yourself, well, Zanita, why don't you just go to your homeland? You might feel more community there. And to that, I say yes and no. When I went to Ghana, if I was walking down the street, you couldn't tell a difference between me and the person, but it came to the clothing, you know, because I was raised in New Zealand, I'm wearing New Zealand clothing. Even if I was to wear Ghanaian clothing, there's just something about me that just sticks out like a sore thumb. And then don't get me started on speaking the language. Like, I've learned a little bit of the language, but because of my accent, like, it sounds so different. I remember one time I went to my mom's village. A majority of them were speaking Ghanaian, so it was really difficult for me to communicate with them. But I have been learning a bit of Ghanaian. I wanted to try and show off a little bit. So I spoke it. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's laughing. So I'm just like a little bit discouraged. I know they didn't mean any harm by it. Honestly, I think it was kind of fun knowing that my words in Ghanaian could bring such a joy to them. But at the time, I was sort of like, wow, they really think I'm sound like an idiot, you know? I'm feeling a little embarrassed, but like now I look back at that with joy, knowing that I had the experience to go back to my motherland to interact with people who look just like me, just having that understanding. And while yes, there is a little bit of a disconnect, I kind of appreciated the similarities of myself with the people in Ghana, and also had that solidarity with other children who were raised like me, or my siblings who were raised in the same household as me, kind of recognizing that although it wasn't the perfect life, it was one of the best lives that I could ever have, having the opportunity of being put through the system. So I went through my trials and errors. However, I do not regret it. And if I had a chance to do it all over again, I'll do it again.
Yeah. And I think let's come to another aspect of it. So you said in New Zealand sometimes it felt like, oh, you didn't fit in, or you know, and all those, but then you feel okay, then maybe let's go to my own people, right? Then maybe I might fit in. Then you go in, you look like you're fitting in, and as soon as something comes out of your mouth, it feels like you're different.
Exactly.
Right? So how did it feel being like, you know, feel like I didn't fit in here, and I kind of also didn't fit in here?
Okay, before you continue, let me come in with this thing.
I
always feel for them.
Yeah.
It's like they are not here, or they think we are going there. They will be there. And, oh, am I something here?
Different. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a white man married to Ashanti woman.
Mm.
You know, oh no, like Ashanti man married to a white woman. The kids, no, both family are not accepting them because the Ashantis take the matrilineal and then they will take you see, they are in the world, they don't know where they are going. So sometimes you sit down and think about, hey, our kids, what's going on? Are they staying here to be comfortable as we wanted, or are they going back? And then as for the sometimes things
but to me, wherever you find yourself, wherever you were born, be a good citizen for that land. Respect the people. Respect the land. You know, whatever you give to them, they give it back to you. That's my life. You know, even when you go for a visit and you respect them, you get a respect back. And I have experienced that for so many things. I went to AA and I got there. There was a seat and I sat down and I saw somebody look like elderly. I got up from my seat, sit down. He sat down. As soon as he sat down, you know what happened? I was maybe number 10 or 12. The person in the counter called me. What do you need? You know, instead of me to be at last, because of the respect that I gave, I was the first person to save.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you were born, where you were raised up, where you visited. As long as you give the respect to the land and the people, 90% of your problem is solved. You understand what I mean? And I've got so many appreciate from all different, you know, and they, because you may see people, they haven't even seen in Africa, they haven't come encounter with African. Or what they know is about what they see on TV. And if they see something negative, that's what they believe. If they see something positive, that's what they believe. But when they see you face to face, it depends how your attitude towards them. That's where they make the judgment. I've been driving buses, I've been driving taxis, I've been driving trucks. I've done so many things. I've been working as well, waterways, and I come across all kind of diverse. And depends how you respect them. Give them the respect first, and you get it back.
Yeah.
But if you don't give them the respect and you think you know, they will tell you that they know better than you.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. Okay, so then let's come back to Zanita. So Zanita, you were going to respond to that question. Okay, so a big shout out to Philip, Philip and your team in Rotorua. Thank you very much for joining us on Facebook. A big shout out to all the Rotorua team, the Ghanaian community in Rotorua and Hamilton, all over those places. Okay, so yeah, Zanita, back to you. Now the whole issue around being caught in the middle.
Yes.
How did it feel having to experience that? Kwabena was saying that he feels sorry. Yeah. But then how did you feel? It would be interesting to know. Yeah.
Well, I understand why some people may feel sorry for me, but at the end of the day, that's my life, and I kind of feel like, I kind of laugh looking back at it now. I think it just kind of shows that when you're born to immigrant parents and you're raised Western, you kind of have to grow thick skin. I genuinely remember another time. Now I'm remembering things. This is kind of funny. When you have an accent and you go to an African country, especially Ghana, they usually don't have set prices. Let's say there's you want to go to the store, you want to go buy something. If they don't have set prices, you usually go there, ask how much it is, and you get the price. The moment they heard my voice, they heard the accent, ding ding ding, the price will triple, double. Hey, I remember one time, my uncle Kwache, shout out Kwache, he went to go get his car fixed, and he said, the first thing he said to all of us is, keep your mouth quiet, don't speak. And a few of us were all whispering, like, shh, shh, keep your mouth shut. And we just started talking because we didn't think it was a big deal. And then Uncle Kwache, after getting the car fixed, they had revealed to us that because they heard us speak, the person, the mechanic, changed the price into a much more expensive, because in his mind, when he heard the accent, he thought dollar signs. And I was just like, man. Like, I wish I had dollar signs. But to answer your question, it's kind of fun. I will definitely say that it is difficult when you first encounter it, but the more you realize it, the more you have to understand it's sort of a privilege. You know, I think a lot of people in my position would see it more as like, I'm a victim, I'm being discriminated against the people who look like me but I don't sound like them, or I'm being discriminated by the people who I don't look like but I do sound like. But I will consider myself a survivor, you know. And it's kind of this fun navigating this world and recognizing that there was people like me out there, and instead of wanting to change my life and wanting things to be easier, I kind of like the challenge, because it shows me that, like, people have such a narrow, broad view about the people around their life that when I come in, it kind of like shatters their worldview, and I kind of want to prove them wrong, you know. And it's just been really exciting, but I'll definitely say in the beginning it sucked.
And also it was interesting because, you know, Florence, who is the treasurer for the Ghana community, she recently went to Ghana, and I saw a picture, a video that they posted on Instagram. So she went to Ghana with some cousins from the US. So they were going to go shopping. Right, so they had to practice the pronunciation, right? Because what is going to happen is that they knew that if they go on their own to shop, they're going to come back broke, right? So they were practicing, they were putting it on Instagram, right? And then they were trying to pronounce the words, like, you know. And then I saw people commenting, hey, you know, the way you guys are pronouncing those words, by the time you come back, your money will be all finished. Yeah, so they had to practice the because you go in and they're like, oh, as soon as you start talking to them, like, oh, something that costs like $10 will be like $15 or $20 or something like that, right? But, and I guess for me, when I was watching the video and the interaction for those hundreds and hundreds of people who were commenting, you could see that people thought it was funny. right? It was funny, but I think that's something that maybe is helping now, because now if you go Instagram, TikTok, there are a lot more African kids or Ghanaian kids in the diaspora who are actually learning the language, and then they are pronouncing it, and then they are struggling. But also those who are watching them feel like it's so cute, right? It's so funny. But then it's a way for them to be able to come out and then express themselves without having to be judged or being laughed at, or by then they themselves feel like, oh no, it sounds cool. And I've seen more and more young people doing that now, trying to put in a video on them and pronouncing the word. Huh?
The popular one in Canada.
Yes, there's a very popular girl. I think her name is Melissa. Is it Melissa? Vanessa. Every time she said, hey, Ghana for. She first started, she was like, everybody was like, what? Why? You couldn't hear what she was saying. But now she's doing very well, and she go hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I just got millions of people following her on TikTok. So I think,
and then you're talking about the pricing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just because somebody went from overseas to Ghana. That's what it is. Something that we have been doing to ourselves before all this. For example, people will be coming from the southern part of northern part of Ghana. We take advantage. People who become from northern part of Ghana to southern part, we take advantage of them. You know, as long as they see you that you are, and it has always been our kind of way that we do business. You come, they give you the price. So, even if they give you the right price from the beginning, you will never buy it, because always we are looking for a discount. So it's up to you to bargain. So when you go there, somebody tell you, the person knows that he wants to sell this one for $20. But if he tells you that it's $20, a Ghanaian will still bargain and say he wants that $18. Meanwhile, he went to somewhere whereby he was priced about $30. He didn't buy it. But you came here, you were honest to that person and said $20. He said, no, I'm not going to buy it. I want $18. If you don't give it to him, or here, he will not buy. He will go and buy rather this one, $25. Because when you go, sometimes they are shy to come back and pre-buy again. So it's not because you come from overseas or whatever. I've been doing marketing. I know.
But the majority now, if as soon as the overseas people speak,
no. Yeah. It's been there.
The
question is,
when I went to Ghana 2 years ago,
hold on. Yeah, yeah. What is overseas? If it's somebody from certain part of northern Ghana,
he's a
foreigner.
When I went back to Ghana recently, right, 2 years ago, I decided to go to buy some stuff on my own. My brother told me, when you go, when they quote you the price, you start from half price.
If they
quote $20, you offer them $10, and then you bargain, and all the way you go to come to $15.
It's so funny that no matter what,
so when I go to Ghana, it's not something new to me.
It's so funny that no matter how you hide yourself, they will know you.
Oh yes,
new to me.
For example, me, I get there. You price me because I've been selling materials, I've been doing all this, so I already know. As soon as they price me, I know it's the normal. So how much? For $50. What about $20? You come. I know he wants $25. You see what I mean? It's been there long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But because, you know, it's the way we do things.
It
doesn't matter how. Even if you give in for free, this for free, take you.
You ask for discount.
So Ghanaians are very good at bargaining. So I think the lesson is that Ghanaians are very good at bargaining, and that's part of the culture. And I think I like how Zanita put it, right? She put it very diplomatically. She said, you know how in Ghana there's no set price for items. Right? So you go in there, and then whatever your the price you get is your ability to bargain. That's going to be the price you get, right? And that's the culture of the people. But now let's move from there and let's come to.
And yeah, I'll put just a few minutes.
Just
a few while we're physical. And also, even when you send us to go and buy it,
for you on your behalf. Yeah. We still bought a bit of a cut.
Yeah.
You know, so it's $10. Say, oh no, they said they want $12.
Yeah.
You know, we try to cheat you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now, Danita, let's come back. So now we've talked about how this year has been for the African community, the engagement issue. We've talked about the New Zealand police wanting more Africans to be involved and blah 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 blah. Moving forward, as a young African in the diaspora, what is your expectation for the Ghana community or even the African community? What are you expecting the African community to be doing moving forward to be able to engage, to be able to captivate the young ones, to engage them and get a bit more because I think we need to engage. They need to be. I think we need to go to them. They need to come to us. We need to meet somehow.
Yeah.
What do you think we should be doing? We should do more to be able to capture the young ones.
Well, I think the best way I could put it is that if you want to meet in the middle ground, the best middle ground is social media. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, even Snapchat, you know, the youth are always on it. And I always find it so fascinating with the ability to try and engage people through not only games, like I hope you've heard of a game night or like a Kahoot night where like people can come online and have the ability to play games.
But we did Kahoot once, right?
Yeah, we did. That was very successful.
I think maybe we should do that again.
Yeah, do it again. But not only that, but like also organize a physical game night where like there are prizes. I think a lot of youth, myself included, have an incentive of wanting to win something, you know? And I find it so much fun not only doing that, but having the opportunity to meet new people. I'll definitely say that when it comes to the engagement, a lot of students and youth, myself included, have to really ask ourselves, what do we gain from this? You know, do we gain a new friend? Do we gain a new experience? Do we gain new ideas? Do we step ourselves into a community? Or are we just going there to an event and then going home and it doesn't feel worth it at all? I think it's also a social aspect. I've kind of noticed that there's a little bit of a social disconnect with youths like myself. Like, I would most likely message a friend and text them rather than like meet them in person. And when I want to meet them in person, it has to be like a long, strenuous process because they have work or I have school and we can't meet in the middle because they're too busy or I'm too busy. So I think it's just also kind of trying to make sure that whatever we're trying to do for the youth, not only can they participate online, but they can also be able to have the idea that going there will be worth it at the end.
Yeah. So what kind of program would you? Yes, they need to want it. They need to worth something to them. They need to be able to make friends. They want to be able to connect. But what kind of programs would you suggest that as the leadership of the African community or the Ghanaian community, what types of program would you recommend that will be able to will be helpful in drawing the young ones out from their comfort zone and to be able to engage the community from a cultural perspective?